Everybody, hello. I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food, and I'm back. I missed a week, and I always miss you whenever I miss a week, so I'm very happy to be here to talk about my favorite subject, food. I'm actually in the Bay Area, sunny California, for a while, doing some work, some projects here, and enjoying it very much, I must say. I think this is the best time of year to be here. It's not too hot, not too anything, just too beautiful. So I'm feeling very, very grateful. Shall we think of some of the things we're grateful for? I am grateful to be here right now. And I love to swim, and I'm having an opportunity to do a lot of that. That's really a wonderful exercise. And speaking of swimming, let's just get right down to water and those species that swim in the ocean, shall we? We've been talking about fish and the oceans, the state of the oceans. When I spoke with the founder of Fish Feel a few weeks ago, Mary Finelli, and I'm going to be bringing on next week a guest, Jonathan Balcombe, who has a new book out, and that book is about fish, too, and it's called What a Fish Knows. So while we're talking about all of these things, about fish, the subject of eating fish comes up, something that I have not done for about 30 years now. The health professionals, many of them encourage us to eat more and more fish, even though our oceans are polluted and the supply of fish is depleted. So that's why I'm really excited today to bring on my guest from Sophie's Kitchen, Vegan Seafood. I've mentioned them before on the program, and now we're going to be talking direct to Eugene Wang and Susan Karskadon. Are you with me today?
Hi, Karen. It's a pleasure to be here. Nice talking to you all. Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you. And is Susan with us too?
Thank you.
Is Susan here? Okay, well, we'll see about Susan in a little bit. Not yet, I've been told. Okay, cool. So, Eugene,
yes.
You've been involved in the vegetarian food business. I'm reading from your bio for a very long time. Let's just jump right in and give us a brief introduction about how Sophie's Kitchen came about.
Yes, indeed. My family has been involved in vegetarian manufacturing for over 30 years. And along the way, I see all my families are eating vegetarian food thanks to their religious belief, which is Buddhism. And so, you know, a lot of my family members are vegetarian by their religious belief. And down the road, right after I had my first newborn, my baby, that was almost 8 years ago, when she was almost 2 years old. I just found out that she has this very severe allergic reaction to some of the shellfish. Mm-hmm. And then that gave me some of the ideas that, you know, along the way, I had quite a few friends who had similar symptoms. And I had a lot of friends and family and even people around me who are vegetarian or even vegans, who are indeed still thinking about seafood. And so I thought, you know, why not use our technology to come up with something to help people, to live on their choice of plant-based diet. And that's how Sophie's Kitchen was born.
Well, it's beautiful. You know, it's amazing. I don't encourage things that are unfortunate to happen. But sometimes, oftentimes, we really get creative when something bad happens, and then we create something that's so, so wonderful. So I can't imagine what it was like when your daughter had an allergic reaction. Small children suffer in any way is probably the worst thing we could ever see.
Definitely. You know, we were this close to send her to the hospital. And, you know, I had some of the problems myself with seafood, too. So, you know, I know all too well how that felt. And, but, you know, like you said, you know, at the end of the day, it's it's a kind of fortunate thing on the other hand when you look at it from the other perspective that I got this inspiration to create something to help people in the world to live in a better life. So I think it's probably a blessing in itself also.
Yeah. Now, shellfish, I know people have had problems with shellfish for a long time. They are bottom feeders. They tend to like to eat the garbagey things. I'm wondering if shellfish is more of a problem today because our oceans are so toxic.
Yes and no. I think shellfish itself, because of the gene, because of the protein it provides, it has a lot of it gives a lot of a problem to a lot of people who eat it. But then again, today the world, the ocean is really so polluted that people aren't aware of, you know, that pretty much a lot of the fishes are really in danger.
Yeah.
Let me give you an example. There's a research coming out from Japan. They actually studied the fishes in Tokyo Bay. And what they found out alarmingly is that a lot of the fish in their meat, you can find probably some particles of plastics in their in their flesh, meaning that these fishes are actually accidentally eating the plastic that we dump into the ocean by accident. And so that's just
I'm sorry. I was just thinking of I have these fleece jackets. And they're synthetic fleece. And I was reading that just by washing them in the washing machine and the particulates, these nanoparticulates, go out into the water supply and get into the ocean and into the sea life, as you were saying.
Right. You know, so I think the key here is that, you know, what happened on the land is very easy for people to measure and to be aware of and to understand the degree of pollution or damage that we have done. What happens in the water in the ocean is really problematic, you know, because a lot of time, very often what happens is that people just don't see. They can't see it. They can't understand it. They can't even measure it. So there's a huge debate about just how much the ocean fishery has been depleted by our greed. You know, a lot of the experts, a lot of the people have different numbers. And these numbers, a lot of times, are just giving us a very contradictory and very puzzling picture. But in any case, I think what the urgency here is that we have to understand just because we don't know doesn't mean that there's no problem. And we really have to be aware and even, you know, taking some actions to help prevent things, bad things from happening before it's too late.
Yes, before it's too late for Sophie.
Yep, indeed. And our future generations to come, you know, not just for our current generations like Sophie,
yes.
You know, we got to think about, like there's a number, you know, probably by 2050, the world is going to fill up with 9 billion people. Think about it, you know, how much people, how much protein you have to feed these people. And can we be sustainable with just the land animal or even the animals from the ocean? I don't think so. And that's why we are acting in any possible way to help the world solve this issue.
All right, so let's talk about the delicious seafood, the vegan seafood that you've created, and this one special ingredient that you use, the konjac.
Yes, konjac, some people call it Japanese yam because it was perfected by the Japanese for hundreds of years. Now, if you went to a Japanese restaurant, you must have these little noodle-like or even patty, tofu patty-like foods that's made out of konjac, Japanese yam root, and you were simply not aware of. And what we found out is that through our technology, our patent-pending technology, we can actually use this konjac yam root and to perfectly simulate the texture of a lot of the shellfish. And that's why we use it in our foods. And together with the pea protein, it gives our foods a very perfect balance between the protein and fiber counts. So that's the beauty of this never heard of young root in this market.
This is Susan here.
Hi, Susan. Welcome to It's All About Food, and thanks for joining us. You're the marketing with Sophie's Kitchen, right?
Yes, and that's the so interesting. And one of the things about konjac that we have found out that's so fascinating is that there's a brain connection. Eugene has been able to recreate an incredible mouthfeel of seafood using konjac. And what's so fascinating is that because of that brain-body connection, people really get the satisfaction of real seafood when they're, you know, eating Sophie's Kitchen products. It's fascinating to us. And it was a whole genre of science that we didn't really think about, even though Eugene was trying to perfect that mouthfeel. So now we're just overjoyed when we, when we're around consumers and they say, oh my goodness, this is just like seafood. It's a real, real feather in our cap. And it's a fascinating aspect to all of this.
Absolutely. Now, I'm familiar, since I've been vegan for a long time, seeking out all kinds of crazy vegan foods, I'm familiar with a handful of other companies that make different kinds of vegan seafood. Mewa in New York is an example. And it's been fun to buy some of their products. And I think they come from Taiwan. I have never, until I tried your vegan salmon, ever had anything like that. The salmon is just crazy.
Thank you, Grant.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And have you tried the crab cake?
I grew up in a Jewish family. I'm not religious, but we definitely like the traditional foods. And a bagel, cream cheese, and lox is something that a lot of people can't do without. And I don't think anybody would know the difference with your product.
So, Karen, here's the difference between our way of promoting our food than the competition is that, you know, number one, we're definitely designed for this market. Mewa, like the company you mentioned, their products are mostly designed in Asia, designed for Asian markets, which a lot of time they have a lot of ingredients that we here in North America don't really understand or feel well about it. Things like sugar and even some synthetic flavoring or coloring, you know, and those ingredients are you won't see it in our foods. And not just that, we're kosher certified, we're non-GMO project verified, we've got numerous certifications just to make sure that customers here really understand our philosophy, our core belief in this brand in making these foods. And we hope that people will not just enjoy it, but also feel healthy, eat healthily with our foods.
Well, that's really an important point because, unfortunately, there are a lot of vegan products that are trying to simulate animal foods, and especially the earlier ones that have come out are filled with all kinds of synthetic ingredients and salt, sugar, and fats that aren't healthy for us, and you read the package label and you don't know what's in it. A healthier, cleaner product is really important.
Definitely, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So I had heard about your products but hadn't had an opportunity to try them until I went to the Food Bites conference in Brooklyn, and that's where I met you and got to sample some of your products. And the Food Bite event is interesting, where they're making an opportunity for more food companies to make people aware of their products. And they sound like they're very forward-thinking in terms of the companies they want to promote. I just found that there was Well, for example, there was a company promoting a wild seafood product, and they used the slogan sustainable seafood, which I think is an oxymoron because it's not sustainable in any way that you might do it
right.
wild or not.
Right. Right.
You know, but yours
I think
is.
People, yeah, you know, I think people in general are still confusing about what is really cutting edge, what is really visionary in our food supply. And I mean the whole industry, even the whole nation is actually seeking the answer. And I think it's going to be a long way down the road before we truly find out what's really the answer. And there are only a few very visionary groups or people who can foresee that. So I think events like Food Bite is really a good broadcasting or educating event for us to help deliver our message to the mass. Is that, you know, just like you said, it's really hard to fish sustainably out of the ocean or even out of any water. I mean, because you really don't have a way to measure it. So instead of keep thinking about what we should do with our fishery, with our fishing industry, why not just create a whole new alternative category that helps people to stay away or to eat less of these seafoods? And in that way, even though we can't really convince the whole world not to eat fish, but then again, at the end of the day, in the future, we probably can cut the consumption of fishery quite a bit and help solve the problem we're foreseeing that's coming in the future. That's what we think that we want to do and we should do.
Now, let's get back to your production. I really appreciate that you're sensitive to the ingredients you're using and making them more healthful, environmentally friendly product. Where does your konjac come from? Is it grown in the United States? Do you import it from Asia?
Yeah, we import it. We actually have a lot of our foods made in Asia right now because, number one, we're bootstrapping startups. As you can imagine, it took a lot of money to set up a facility right here. But we're in the process of shifting our manufacturing facility operations over as we speak. Actually, just recently, we had a new co-packer in Toronto, and we're gonna foresee more percentage of our production going to be shipped over. And the konjac root currently is sourced out of China. Before the 2011 earthquake, we actually sourced it out of Japan, but just unfortunately, the konjac root was grown around the Fukushima power plant area, and so we were forced to switch to another supplier. And so that's why we have to source up from China. But then, you know, like you said, you know, definitely in the future, it just so that people don't understand the konjac root, so our business is still very small. But when we grow, we definitely would think about sourcing or even growing the konjac and everything right here in the States or even Canada to help cut down our costs and make it more sustainable, and
yes.
Which will definitely match our business philosophy.
It is very difficult to start any food business, and I appreciate you saying that. And I know that you have to make some compromises sometimes in terms of where you're getting your supplies, just because it's a very difficult thing to do, and you've come a long way. So can konjac be grown in the United States or in Canada?
Definitely. I just can't find a farmer or farm willing to do that for me. Because
okay,
of,
so we
number
have to put
one,
that out there. Anybody that wants to grow konjac, here is an opportunity for you.
Right. And actually, believe it or not, konjac is actually used in a lot of different industries, especially in supplements. And they call it glucomen. And so it's a huge business, actually, believe it or not. It's just that.
Yeah.
It's just that that's so weird that here the farming industry here doesn't really understand or even heard of such plants. So that's why we have a real difficulty sourcing it from here.
Yeah, well, that looks like a great opportunity, unless it's difficult to grow.
Not at all, not at all. It's a root, so right. You know, I suppose it's just like potato, you know.
Right. Okay, everybody, start growing cognac.
It's prolific in Asia, so it's an ancient staple, really. It's low in calories and high in fiber, so you know that's what everybody in America is looking for. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I briefly mentioned your salmon, which is just amazing, scary amazing. It was the first thing that I saw when I walked into Food Bites was your table, not your table where you were standing, but there was a display with the salmon. And I was looking at it, and I thought it was vegan, but it just looked so real that I couldn't believe it, and I had to read everything that was there before I would try it, because it looked like salmon. Now, I don't even know how you do it, but it's just pretty incredible.
Yes, you know, because the first thing I thought of when I was starting this business is lox. Because, you know, just recently that people probably become aware of the genetically modified salmon that's going to be marketed in the United States pretty soon. And salmon is such a huge business that... believe it or not, it's actually, to some extent, is polluting our ocean, thanks to these, congregated, farms. And it's a multi-billion dollar business. No one really, dares to challenge it. But I think, if we're making a vegan seafood, we better be the first one to fire the shot and come up with something that's really helping people to cut down their consumption on salmon. And plus, these smoked salmon taste really good and has a lot of fiber and enough decent protein that you really shouldn't, miss the opportunity to try some. And I believe it could be available in a lot of the natural food stores just near you. So hopefully people would get a chance to try it.
Now let's talk about shrimp, because shrimp has a big story behind it from a health point of view, from an environmental point of view. It is loaded with cholesterol. It is not a healthy food to eat. Of course, many people are allergic to it. The shrimp farms today are a disaster for the environment, destroying coral reefs. And I keep thinking, I haven't been in one in a long time, but I remember younger going to these restaurants that had unlimited cocktail shrimp and these shrimp bars, and you know, we would just eat so many of them, and they are still going on today. But real shrimp is a terrible thing for people to consume on so many levels. So you have come up with a vegan shrimp.
That's totally the point. You know, when we look at the whole market research numbers, shrimp is actually, by far, I believe it's the number one consumed item among all the seafood. And like you said, you know, shrimp farms actually gave the whole world a lot of problems, not just because the pollutions they created. They use a lot of chemicals to keep the shrimps healthy and alive. And not just that, a lot of the companies use slave labor to peel the shrimp, to process the shrimp. And that create a lot more problems. And so just by over consuming or over depending on one item, the whole world is creating such a mess to the globe, to the earth. And I think really, you know, there should be a company, a major company, coming out and do something about it. It's just so unfortunate that none of these multinational food companies really see this. But I believe what we are trying to do here definitely will be noticed by these big companies, big guys, and hopefully they will join the parade and come up with something to help people to stay away from the shrimp consumption. And like you said, you know, shrimp itself has a lot of cholesterol. For people who are in their mid-age, mid-40 or even elder, I would say try not to eat too much shrimp in your daily diet, and eat our vegan shrimp is probably a better option for all of you.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Susan.
I'm sorry. That brings up a really important point. We have also learned that a lot of our fans are not necessarily all vegan. They are just looking for more plant-based foods to add to their diet. So it's an amazing thing to be able to augment perhaps your half vegan diet, or just adding more plant foods to your diet. Our foods make it really easy. So let's say you do have shrimp once in a while, but you still want to enjoy shrimp that's plant-based, then voila, Sophie's Kitchen's whole line of products.
That's a really good point, because the pendulum has swung really way too far in terms of the animal products we consume today, and we need to swing it back. Whether people become vegan, which, you know, I would love personally, but I don't think that's going to happen. People need to consume more plants and less animals if we're going to continue on this planet. And this is definitely a way to do it.
Speaking of which, you know, the whole nation is actually, you know, 40% of the whole nation is actually staying away from real meat or seafood right now as we speak. And so just like the other day, I got an email from one of our consumers. She mentioned a very interesting story about she just mixed our vegan shrimp with the real shrimp to, number one, cut down the cholesterol that she took in that meal, and also, you know, try as a way for her to try to convince her to get onto a more plant-based diet. This is a very wonderful story, as you can see what people here in this country are trying to do to stay away from animal protein.
Right, that's clever. Very clever.
Yeah. Really?
Good.
Yeah.
The thing I like about your shrimp is I remember a long time ago when I ate shrimp, occasionally I'd get a piece of the shell that wasn't peeled off, and it would be pointy or crunchy, but there's no shell in your products.
definitely, yeah. So eating our shrimp is not just healthy, but also a wonderful joy.
Right. Okay, now we can find your product online and in stores, is that correct?
That's correct. Online, there's a few vegan stores that you can check out, or go to our website. There's a link to these stores. And in a lot of the natural food stores, like Whole Foods Market, like Mother's, and Mom's, you know, a lot of these natural food stores carry our products too. So just feel free to go to these natural food stores. If not, just contact us through our website. We'll give you the direction.
Okay. Also, yes.
Our products are available across North America in almost every natural food store. So even if, for instance, our vegan tuna is in the aisle with real tuna, our frozen products are in the frozen aisle. But any store can order our products. So it's as simple as a consumer going into their favorite natural food store and asking for it. We're also in a lot of Safeways across the country. So we're very pretty available.
I didn't realize that your tuna is in the same area as animal fish tuna. That's good.
Right.
Yeah, it's just so unfortunate that the buyer, the retail store, they don't really have a space for this type of product. Think about it, you know, go figure. So, you know, we're probably really the first one and very innovative, probably too innovative to a lot of these retail stores. But I believe down the road, you know, consumers' buying choice will tell these buyers that, retail buyers that, you know, we really have to catch up with consumer demands in terms of alternative protein, especially plant-based protein, and so that, you know, these plant-based products will be more visible in anywhere in the supermarket.
That sounds good to me. Well, Eugene and Susan of Sophie's Kitchen Vegan Seafood, thanks so much for joining me and for doing what you're doing. Now we just have to grow more konjac in the United States.
Thank you very much, Karen. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Take care, both of you. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah. Eugene Wang of Sophie's Kitchen Vegan Seafood. This is really a beautiful thing. And I tell you, I've tried some of these products, and they're good. Now, I have to admit, I never really liked smoked salmon. I was talking earlier about the smoked salmon on bagels with cream cheese back in the day when I ate those things. And when I tried their vegan salmon, it really tasted like it, but let me just, I don't know how else to put it. I liked it, whereas I didn't like the original version, and I can't really explain what the difference is unless subconsciously or consciously, as I'm going to go into the next topic, maybe I knew what the original product was, and that's why I didn't like eating whoever it was.